Ephesians chapter number 1. All right, Ephesians chapter number 1. Again, all that other is commercial, but it's something that you have to pay attention to and you have to think about. So, all right, Ephesians chapter number 1 here. Let's start in verse number 3 again, if you will, and we're just going to read, and then we're going to pick up in our verse number 6, which is where we left off last time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. As I read that, you notice I emphasize some words more than the other ones. That's because I have those underlined in my Bible, because those are key words. When you come across there and you about chosen us before him in him before the foundation of the world, holy, without blame, before him in love, predestinated, adoption, according to his the good pleasure of his will, to the glory of his grace, accepted in the Beloved, redemption, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he abounded all wisdom, all prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, his good pleasure, purposed in himself. All those are critical things here, because that's what we've been talking about, is the spiritual blessings here, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, everything that we have in Christ. And we looked last time at the issues there in verse 5 about adoption. We're going to start in verse 6 here, and predestinated and so forth. And that issue that when God the Father sits over here and he looks at you and I, as we've come through Calvary, as we've come and who we stand now in Christ, we're in the Romans doctrine. All that is grounded in us. We understand our justification. We understand we're dead to sin but alive to God. We're dead to the law. We live under grace. We're alive to him. We're able to be of his service now. When the Father looks at us as who we are in Christ, he sees us already in this condition. Okay? As a present possession. He doesn't say, well, I have to wait for them to get up here to give it to them. No, we have it right now. And a piece of that, now as we begin to move here now, in verse number 6, according to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, the outworking of verse number 4 and 5, the outworking of chosen us before in him before the foundation of the world, holy, without blame, having this adoption, predestinated. He determined back over here to give the adoption, the identification of adult sons in Christ. The outworking of this begins to start now. So, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And that's what's going on here. When he talks here about to the glory of his grace, look over at chapter number 2. Chapter number 2 and verse number 7. Chapter number 2, verse number 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards whom? Us through Christ Jesus. Now, why? We use that word, we use that on our chart about the ages to come. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist says, who told you to flee from the wrath to come? And really, the to come is that future event. But when he says here he's gonna the exceeding riches of his grace, he might show, he's gonna manifest out there in the heavenly places his what? His grace. Actually, the exceeding riches of his grace to a group of people who from the very beginning have hated his guts. From the very beginning, didn't want to walk in his ways, didn't want to listen to the word. From the very beginning of time, humanity out here, after Adam fell, he didn't want to have anything. We didn't want to have anything. We're in the Romans 1 condition, where he just gave us up. We took him out of paradise and we put him down there in the puddle. And he says, those are the people that I'm showing my exceeding riches, and look at them. Boy, don't they look good. because of what I did to them and because of what I accomplished for them. So in chapter 1 here, what we're doing now, we went through and we're going to look at, finish in verse 6 here. Verses 3 through 6 focus on the work of the Father. Now the Father's doing all of this, but He did some things very specifically. Then verse 7 to 12 focuses on the work of the Son. Okay? And it's all to the praise of His glory. And what did the Son do? In whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. God the Father forgives us our sins, but why? Because of the work of the Son over here. Okay, so we're going to focus. And then in 13 and 14, you're going to focus on the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's all to the praise, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. It's all being done to the praise and the glory of God's grace. So when you begin to get into this and you look at it, you sit back and go, wow, look at that. Look at what He's doing, not because you were something special, but because of His grace. Because, do you hear a hum? Okay, because I hear a hum. To the glory of His grace. It's about Him. So verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, watch now, wherein? Wherein where? The glory of His grace. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what we like to say. But grace is much more than that. Grace is all that He is free to do and to give to you because of Calvary. You see, God's riches at Christ's expense, okay, what does that mean? That means He's able to do what? Give you everything. And you can sit back and enjoy that and relax in who you are in Christ. And it's because of who we are. Now watch verse 6. We are, He hath wherein, in the glory of His grace, He hath made us, what? Accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved. Beloved. That's Christ. Come back with me to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. Come back over there to Matthew 3. And look at this passage here in Matthew 3. In verse number 17. Matthew 3, verse number 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What happens there when Jesus is baptized of John, and the dove and everything comes and He happens, and the voice comes out and He says what? This is My beloved Son. He is the one that I love. Let's be loved. Chapter 17 of Matthew. Chapter 17. You see, folks, when you were saved and justified and by the work of the Holy Spirit baptized into the body, into Him, some things happen to you because of the glory of His grace. He's doing this. Matthew 17, verse number 5. They're up on the Mount Transfiguration. And He says here, while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. You see, folks, come over to Colossians 1. When you talk here about accepted in the Beloved, Colossians chapter number 1, where are you accepted? In Christ. You're not accepted because you look good today or because you did, you know, you did what was required of you for the week and you fed the kids and you petted the dog and you did this and you did. No, you're accepted because of who you are in Christ. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 13. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of His darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His, what? Dear Son. That's where we are. The one He loves. You see, in Christ, come back to Ephesians 1, we have total acceptance in Christ. We're unconditionally accepted according to His grace. Absolute, total. I don't know if you can fathom that. In today's market and in today's society, everybody wants to be what? Accepted. Will you be my friend on Facebook? No, I won't be your friend. Well, what, you don't like me? Probably not. That's why you're not my friend. Okay? I get friend requests all the time from Facebook from people I don't know. And then when I hit on them and I look at who their friends are, they're all people who I do know over here that they're what? They're just friending their friends book. You know? And it's like, wait a minute, I don't know who you are. And maybe I'll go check them out. Maybe I'll friend them, watch them a little while, and then what? Unfriend them. So my acceptance is based upon my set of criteria, isn't it? Okay? God says, no, I totally accept you where? In Christ. Now, if I friend you, and you start making me mad, okay, then what do? Unfriend, hide, delete. Well, what happens when you're in Christ and you start making Him mad? What does He do to you? You're still accepted. See, I have conditions, okay, whether I like you or not, or whether you're being this or being that. Christ's condition is what? Are you in me? And if you're in my Son, then I totally accept you. You know, we do that often, don't we? About the acceptance thing. I don't like you, so you're not my friend. And because you're not my friend, then therefore I'm not going to be your friend. So, nah, 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 nah. Okay? Christ says, no. In His grace, in the glory of His grace, according to the riches of His grace, He's made us accepted in the Beloved. He was sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be what? Made the righteousness of God. Made that righteousness. That's our standing. That's the viewpoint that He has. He has this viewpoint about you and I that we're so closely identified with His Son. We're in the Beloved. We're in His dear Son. We're in the One that He loved. And He says the same thing of you. He says, you're in Him, you're all right. I accept you because you're in my Son, who I'm accepting. And that's outstanding. And that's our standing. You see, if you can understand who you really are in Christ, you know, then things in life become less and less more stressful. And less more emotionally up and down. You know? It is what it is. And where I want to be is here. I don't want to be there. I want to be here. You know? And I want to be around people who are like-minded and let's get on with it. And boom, the next thing you know, you're up here every day going, where is everybody? Why isn't anybody else here? You know? I understand. You got jobs. I got a job too. I got work to do. I got that. I understand that. Sometimes I think people don't think I understand what goes on in life. You know, and I do. But I understand what goes on here too. And being accepted in the Beloved, there's nothing that you could ever do that He would say, you're no longer mine because you belong to Him. So when you're totally accepted in Christ, and the question comes up, and you guys see this, then can God get mad at me? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Can God get mad at me? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, there's a verse here in verse number 9 that is a very interesting little verse. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be what? Accepted of Him. Well, wait a minute, Rick. I'm accepted in Him. But that verse says what? That we may be accepted of Him. You see, what Ephesians is talking about is your identity. This is who you are. You are accepted in Him. 2 Corinthians 5 now says your walk needs to be what? Accepted in Him. Because even though your standing can be it, your walk can stink it up from here to baseline. Well, I have to do this, or I have to do that. You know, no. That's what He talks about. That's what He's talking about here. We labor. We work. We're laboring, that our labor would be accepted. You see, our standing and our state, they're different. But yet they are the same if you're applying the word. Your standing, who you are in Christ, is in your walk, is your life. That are you know you're complete in Christ. You know you're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We talk about that all the time. But what about your walk? Is your walk accepted in Him? Because look at verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Whoa! There's coming an event out there for you and I as members of the body of Christ. Are we accepted in the Beloved? Yes. Why? Because we're going to be there. So there's an event that's going to happen at the calling, at the day of redemption. That meeting in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4, isn't a, hey, how you doing? He knows you. It's a, hey, we got something to do here real quick. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it's an interesting thing about the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody gets their, I'm going to say this on purpose, their panties in a bunch about it. Okay, and I said, it's not a slip of the tongue. Because they don't understand, because they get scared with that word judgment. Not all judgments are bad. He judged your sin to be what? Paid for. That's a good judgment. This is not a bad judgment. Well, what's going on here? Well, there's some things going on. You go back to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, you go over here and you got different passages, okay? Not 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 3. But look at verse number 10 again, because it is 1 Corinthians 3, I'm sorry. And look at what he's going to tell you in the verse. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Semicolon. What's the next word? What's that word that for? That's a purpose, the intent verse, isn't it? That, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we haven't left. 2 Corinthians 5:10, that everyone may receive the things done. What's that next word? In. Not on, not to, but in His body, according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know what the judgment, you know what that verse tells you right there about the judgment seat of Christ? That you can take and you can apply today in life, that your walk, the things that you do in the body, is gonna be, does it measure up to who you are in Christ? You see, you can take the judgment seat of Christ and you can use it for your benefit in time. Because you know what you can say? By the way, 1 Corinthians 3, whether you build wood, hay, stubble, gold, precious stone, that's that passage, and your work's going to be tried. You see, you can take and say, hey, am I building on my foundation the appropriate conduct? That's what verse 10 is. Is my conduct appropriate? And if my conduct is appropriate, then it's a good thing. But if my conduct isn't appropriate, it's a bad thing. You see how you can use that right now in time? So you have a measuring stick, don't you? Right here, right now, of, hey, am I building the doctrine? That's 1 Corinthians 3. And is my conduct right? My service right? Am I building sound doctrine? Am I my service right? Because there's another one over there in Timothy talking about your suffering. Are you suffering enough? Well, you know what? If you're building in the sound doctrine and your conduct is right, then guess what you will be doing? You'll be suffering. So when we talk about this being accepted in the Beloved, come over to Colossians 3. We're not talking about you being in your walk. That we're talking about the status, you're standing in Christ in Ephesians 1. Okay? Look at Colossians chapter number 3. Do you follow that? You've got to see that. Because I know what happens. Well, I'm accepted in the Beloved, so I can just go live any way I want to live. And that's a no. God forbid. Oh my goodness, don't you dare. Well, I don't want to do that. That's fine, don't do it, but don't just think you can go live any way you want, because there's coming a day when you're going to have to give an account of what you did where? In the body. I've heard guys use that passage about tattooing. It doesn't say on the body, it says what? In the body. What did you do inside? Your conduct. Because out of the heart proceeds what? The thoughts and intents. Did I mess that one up? I messed that one up, didn't I? No. That's right. Yeah. out of the mouth proceeds the thoughts and intents of the heart. What's going on down inside of you? I'll think of it in a minute. I'm preaching instead of teaching. Okay? So that's what's happening here. Colossians 3. Look at Colossians 3. Look at verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now, you see that if? That's one of those rhetorical, hey dummy, pay attention statements. It isn't an if, well maybe you are, or maybe you're not. It's an if. It's like if I look at Ricky and say, if you're my son, you don't act like that. Now, is he my son? Oh my goodness, is he ever my son? So, if ye be risen with Christ. Well, isn't that a case? Yeah, that's a fact. So wake up here. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Hey, look, you want to live and walk in who you are in Christ, where should your focus be? Where is His focus? Up there. If you then be risen, what? Set your affections, things you love, things you got to have, things that run and control your life. That's why he tells Timothy the root of all money is the root, the love of money. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Eventually, I'll quote the verses right. Okay? And that's what's going on here. So when you come back over to, well, look down at verse 12 in Colossians 3. You see, folks, we are so totally, unconditionally accepted. Verse number 12, he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You see the put on? That's the Christian dress right there. That's what you ought to have. That's what you're putting on. That's having that lifestyle that's equal to the life that I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not I, but Him. So when you come back to Ephesians 1, verse number 6, power-packed verse, to the praise of the glory of His grace, and that's what this is all about, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In whom, verse 7, now here's Christ. Now we get to meet Christ. And His work becomes the focus. The Father is still giving the blessings out, but now it begins to focus on the blessings. The Father said, what my focus has been is to set this up and to give these people here an identity that I give to my Son over there because they're in Him. Now, because of what my Son has done, I'm going to give them some more stuff because where are they? In my Son. Verse 7. In whom? Well, in who? The Beloved, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to, how do I get the forgiveness of sins? According to the riches of His grace. You see, Paul starts here with redemption. If you drop down there to verse number 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Where does he just end? With redemption. The stuff that's going on inside of him. Paul starts in verse 7 with redemption and he takes you right back to Romans 3, verse 24 and 25. And that issue, therefore, we have redemption. The price has been paid. That word redemption, to be delivered by completely paying the price. If you've ever put anything on layaway, Kmart does layaway still. I don't know if Wally World does or not. I don't think they do anymore. But Kmart still, you go in and you say, I'll put $20 down on it. And I'll come up every month, week, month, day, whatever you set up or whatever there. And what are you doing? You're putting a little bit more on it, and then one day what do you get to do? You get to redeem it, don't you? We're in the pawn shop. You know what a dead pawn is in a pawn shop? A dead pawn is if I go in and pawn something, get a loan, and I don't repay the loan back, then it becomes dead. They get to sell it free and clear, and whatever they make on it is theirs. We were in a shop up one time up off the 40 looking at Navajo blankets and stuff, a little shop up that way. And we were in this trading post, and I bought a Pennington blanket. You know what those are? It was on a dead pawn. Beautiful blanket. Man, that thing keeps you warm. I don't need nothing but that. And you know what happened? I got to talking to him. You know what redemption is? You're a dead pawn, and I just redeemed you. I just came in and paid the price. And the price was pretty good, by the way, on the blanket. Okay? And that's what we have. Not only are we redeemed, not only are we free from the law, from Satan, from the world, from the individual sins, we're free from all that. We have the forgiveness of sins. That's the second point. We are forgiven, Colossians 2:13, all of our trespasses. And it's all done according to what? The riches of His grace. It isn't done whether or not you write a big fat check to the church. It isn't done whether you play a musical instrument, teach Sunday school, sit on the board, go to the women's luncheon or the men's breakfast. That's no bearing at all. Those things are the function and the life of a local assembly that you decided and made a decision to participate in. Rather, it's His work. It's in Christ. So one of the functions here in verse 7 of the work in Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. By the way, that's Romans chapter number 4, verse number 6 to 8. So Paul assumes that you understand something about what? About the book of Romans. You see how real quickly he just did that? And he expects you to know Romans 3, 24 and 25. He expects you to know Romans 4, verse 6 and 8. He expects you to know some things. Again, we're not over here in baby land anymore. We're over here in adult land. If you want to act and live and perform like a baby, then go be in baby land. But we're in adult land. Why? Because we have that adoption of the children. We have the standing in the family of God as adult sons. And you know what He expects you to do? Act like it. That's how He looks at you. Verse number 8. Wherein? Wherein where? The riches of His grace. He hath abounded toward us in all, what? Wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that, there it is, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. We have some things going on here. Wherein? The riches of His grace. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all. He didn't leave any of it out. He got it all to you. All wisdom and knowledge. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. He didn't miss anything. You're not missing anything. When He made your standing and gave you the standing through His work, through the work of Calvary, through the work of Christ, He says, you've got it all. I was up buying a suit a couple months ago after losing weight. I couldn't fit in. I didn't realize how big I had gotten. I mean, them things were big. It's like, I can't, you know, this is still big in the jacket, but the pants fit just right, you know. But the suits, I was looking at it, JCPenney over there, had three pieces to them. Had the coat, the vest, and the pants. And I'm like, hey, I haven't worn a three-piece suit since I was this high. That's kind of cool. So I'm looking at the vest, and the Speaker of the House came over and nixed the vest. Said, you don't need the vest. And I said, but I like the vest. She goes, no. I said, but the suit isn't what? Complete without the vest. And she said, oh, yes, it is. And I said, okay, I guess it is. And that's good. What, we have this, we have it all, don't we? Now I'm missing a piece of the suit, aren't I? But no, I'm not, am I? Not really. I just kind of like it. I get to wear my pocket watch and the way it's supposed to be worn instead of down in my pocket, you know. Anyway. We have it all. We're not lacking anything. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You have it all grace, all sufficiency. You have it all. And back in chapter number 1 and verse number 8, here it's wisdom and prudence. Verse number 9, he's made known to us the mystery of his will. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God has made us a part of his counsel. He's made us a part of his inner circle. He's revealed to us his plan. And we're sitting right there going, wow, I like that. Don't you like to, you know, don't you like to know when people are over in their little corners talking what they're talking about? And yes, you do. So don't say you don't. Okay? And you go over there, what were they talking about? It's none of your business. Here, it is your business. And he does it because of his grace. And he does it according to the riches of his grace. And he does it because of who we are in Christ. No, notice knowledge. And having made known unto us, have abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. First of all, you have knowledge. I know knowledge isn't in the verse, but knowledge is knowing something. Okay? You know how to do something. You get in the car, you know that the car needs the key and the ignition turned on before it's going to go anywhere. Okay? By the way, you also know that once it started, if you crank on the key again, what are you going to realize? It started. Okay? You know, because it's going to go, you know. So you know something. Then you have wisdom. Wisdom comes along and takes that knowledge and apply. You're in wisdom, you're applying the knowledge for the best outcome, for the best result. Prudence comes along and takes knowledge and wisdom and says, okay, here's what's really going on behind the scene. And if you don't understand what's going on, if you don't understand the scene, then what do you need to go do? You need to get some knowledge about what? The scene. You take what you understand, you put it for the best result, and prudence comes along and says, here, let's look behind the situation. And that's what 9, 10, and 11 are going to do for you. 9, 10, and 11 are going to come along and say, here's what's going on behind the scene. You want to understand? You ever ask you, which is what Ephesians is designed to do, why is God doing what He's doing today? Because God didn't just save you to keep you out of hell. Dad said it one time, that's a footnote number 3 on page number 10. Follow that? What you want to know is what's on the other 10 pages first. You see, he's got a bigger plan than just keeping your sorry rascal self out of hell. It's a good benefit, but there's more going on. And that's what the book of Ephesians is all about. What is it? Well, look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his what? Guess what I know? I can know his will. I'm not worried. I'm not in the dark about it. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation... By the way, it's his what? Good pleasure in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather to one and together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. There's that so closely identity that we have with him. We get that inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him which worketh all things after the counsel. You know what prudence of his own will? You know what prudence does? Prudence comes in and says, here's what's going on in the counsel of his will. Here's what he would have you to know and to understand. Come over to Philippians 1. I know we're running a little behind, so just bear with me. Philippians 1. We got started late anyway. Philippians 1, verse number 9. Here it is. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Look at that. Knowledge. Getting in the information. Judgment. That's prudence, by the way. Taking what you understand and applying it correctly and getting the best out of the situation. Why? That, the reason why He would have you abound more and more, that you may, what? Approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. You see, that's Paul's prayer. You come along and have some knowledge and some judgment. Why? So then you can approve things that are more what? You know what? More excellent. You know what this is talking about here? This is talking about on your life. Intake in your inner man, you take that doctrine in you, okay, and you get it built in there, and you know what it does to the table in your life? It takes all the things that shouldn't be there and wipes them away. You go to Galatians 5, we studied it, you got that list of the works of the flesh. You know what it is when you're abounding in knowledge and in judgment and wisdom and prudence? You know what's going on? That comes along and just wipes that table clear. So then what's left up there? The stuff that should be there, right? Then you know what you can do? Now you can pick between the more excellent and get the job done. Too many times, all of us go, well, is that sin or not? You know what? You should never ask yourself that question. Your inner man should immediately do what? Wipe that off. To ask the question is still to be a babe in Christ. Lacking some information in a specific area. Okay? Now, what do you do as a babe in Christ? No, you grow up, don't you? You come along. That, by the way, that's that maturity verse. Remember, we're in Philippians. Come over to chapter 3. Come on. You know, stay with me now. I know it's been a long morning. We're almost done for this. Philippians 3. Look at verse 15. "Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall what? Reveal even this unto you." So here you are. Think about this now. In your life, you're intaking the doctrine, you're growing, and you're beginning to wipe things off the table of your life so that you can sit there and approve things that are excellent. Prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Good is good, folks. I don't care how you look at that word. But there's something good on there, but there's also what? Something a little better and something that's really the best. And that's what you should be discerning between, not whether it's a sin or not. Now watch verse 15 there again. "Be otherwise thus minded, God shall what? Spank you? Turn you over His knee and spank you?" No, reveal Him to you. How does that happen? If you're having trouble in an area in your life, get in Romans 12, Colossians 3, and Ephesians 4. Get it fixed, get it straightened out, and you know what will happen? It'll come off the table and it won't be a problem in your life anymore because you're standing in who you are in Christ. You decided to quit the pity party and get on with life. Okay? Now, I do love you dearly, but you got to see that because that's what's happening here. And folks, Philippians 1, verse 9, 10, and 11 will help you in life. Because the design of this, the prudence, the looking behind the scene, isn't to maintain you and keep you in the nursery. Its design is to bring you to some maturity so that you as an adult son in the family of God and in time can then display His riches of the glory of His grace. And you can't do that in the nursery. I told you I put my dad hat on this morning. Come back to Ephesians 1. When you have the prudence, you look into the situation and you decide the best thing to do. What is of the greater value? And you will do that because you are understanding the big picture. Because too often times we get sucked into the nasty now and now, don't we? rather than what is the big picture. As a pastor, I'm always looking at the big picture for here. What's the big picture? Hey, we need to be doing A, B, C, and D. We need to be doing some things. We've got big picture ideas here. But how do we get to fulfill those? Take care of those little details that come along. Ephesians 1, verse number 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, I'm in verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and in prudence. You see, folks, wisdom and prudence comes from the Word of God. When you set your mind on what He's doing, His purpose, His plan, you get in there, you understand it, you get to know it, you get to embrace it. We'll pick up in 9 and 10 next time. One more passage, Colossians chapter number 1. You get Colossians 1. Because what happens is sometimes we, over there Paul tells the Corinthians, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Sometimes we get a little big knowledge. You got to remember that verse. Over there he tells Timothy, the knowledge, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you know what the knowledge of the truth is? It's when you take it from the Word of God, put it in your inner man, and then you put it out in life. I can take and quote you the whole passages, never apply them in life, and you know what I am? Knowledge puffeth up. You know what you are? Ever able, ever learning, and never able to come. Never able to take that information and put it out here in shoe leather to approve what is that more excellent thing. What is of the greater value? Wipe off the table in my life of stuff that doesn't belong. The attitude sins, the work of the flesh sins, all the stuff Paul tells you to put off. What does he take it and just boom and set the table back up and get the right stuff on there. Colossians 1, verse number 9. Watch Paul. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled, now watch, with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, and so on. Notice what Paul prayed there. Not that they get a new car, not that the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but he did what? He prayed for them to have what? All wisdom and spiritual understanding. That they, why? Why would he pray? That they might walk worthy of the Lord. That's what's going on. And you know how you walk worthy? You have all wisdom and all prudence. You have it all. And you take it, and you think like God thinks, you put it in your life, and out you go. Okay? Now we'll pick up in verse 9 next time. We'll talk more. We'll go get 8 again because 8, 9, and 10 are kind of squunched together, but it is time to quit. All right? Just catch what's flipped. Ephesians 1 is powerful, folks. Preach on every verse. Okay? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. And Lord, and above all, we thank You of our standing that we have in Your Son. And the standing that we have in the family of God, that we're able to know and to do and to understand. And Lord, I would pray that we would just then apply it to our lives. In Your name we pray. Amen.